There are people with lacerations, head injuries, a young girl with scissors sticking out of her neck, and a woman with her arm missing from below the elbow. It's a horror show, but one where all the victims are laughing, gossiping, and eating donuts.
I'm Robbie Wickman.
And what's your injury?
My injury is a upper arm laceration.
So did they tell you how you got it?
Nope. Not yet.
So what sort of instructions do you have for today?
I'm pretty much just going to be wandering around the field out in front of the plane, muttering to myself, acting really calm and quiet. And when the people come up to treat my injury, I'm just looking around, oblivious to what happened to me and everything.
Are you excited?
Yeah, very.
Robbie and all the other cheerful victims are in the middle of getting their realistic-looking wounds applied. They have a variety of injuries for the emergency responders to deal with. Here's Crystal Norshow, another young volunteer who's keeping what looks like a basketball from falling out of her sweatshirt.
I'm a pregnant lady, 7 months, and I'm about to operate to go into labor.
How does that feel?
I don't know. It feels not uncomfortable. Because it's my first time doing it.
Judy Marsoni wanders over without any clear injuries.
I have a big bruise and I have to limp.
Judy says she definitely did not want any bloody, messy wounds.
So I like when rain falls on me and water falls on me, but I can't live when something's just slowly going down your face. I have to wipe it off. It's not going to work well with me.
So they gave her the bruise, told her to limp, and wander around the crash site.
It says to look for a spouse, and I'm like, I'm 11. I'm not going to play that role. He said I could look for my mom.
All right, so you're hysterical. That's your job.
Well, I just had to be really sad that my mom's died. I think she's dead.
After the moulage, which is the official term for applying fake wounds, Airport Emergency Services Manager Adam Archbold gathers the victims.
So in just a couple minutes here, we're going to get on the bus. We're going to take you guys down. And we'll be starting the drill here shortly after that. It's probably going to be a little while down there, but just hang tight. Again, once the responders start showing up, act your part. It helps out. It's going to be a little chaotic in there. That's okay. That's what it's supposed to be. All right. Last chance. After we're done here, just make sure you get a last chance at the restroom if anybody needs to do that.
A school bus is the stand-in for a crashed airplane, and once it's in position in a gravel area down an embankment from the runway, the victims get out and position themselves. Those who can walk wander aimlessly, others lay motionless on the ground. Everyone is happy that the rain held off. The airport's fire response vehicles are the first to arrive. And the responders quickly spray down the bus with foam fire retardant. KRBD's intern Megan Peterson plays one of the victims and tries to take her role seriously. The victims who can walk are directed to head toward the airport's equipment building to wait for emergency medical technicians. Others are treated on the scene. It takes a while for the EMTs to arrive, though, because they have to wait for the airport ferry to get them from the main island to Gravina Island, where Ketchikan's airport is located. And the EMTs head straight for the crash site, where the most badly injured remain. Those who had walked up to the building have to wait. Finally, a couple of responders show up, but things don't really get organized until South Tonga's Fire Chief Steve Rydeen shows up and starts giving direction.
We had three people doing triage. We sped them up. We got a count, an accurate count. So right now we've prioritized the first ones to go out, which is the pregnant one that's hurt, because it's basically 9 months pregnant, and we want to get her out of here. I don't have time for a baby here.
All the victims are eventually taken by ambulance to the hospital, where an emergency treatment center is set up. About a week after the drill, Adam Archbold is preparing to get together with other responders to talk about how it went. He says that overall the drill was productive and showed where improvements could be made. For example, Archbold would like more readily available supplies on hand at the airport, such as backboards. One general area that could be improved is response time, although that will always be hindered by the location of the airport, on an island separated from most of the emergency responders.
In a real incident, we would have been able to have a second ferry operating within an hour, and that would have helped to improve the response time. However, we do live on an island, and we do have limited resources for some of that.
Archbold says each of the response teams that participated in the drill will evaluate their own performance and come up with ways to improve in case they ever need to use their practice skills in a real-life emergency. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.